that.
You got the intro there, Jeremy?
Yeah. Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends. We're all guessing from Podbay. Yeah. Sit and stay 82 feet above sea level at Intergalactic K9 Studios.
Bean phone.
Loosen your leashes, unlatch those cage doors, and distract your handlers to keep a shock collar of statism from being clamped down on your neck.
Yes.
Can you feel it? Is it working?
Yes.
Can you feel it, Michael?
Yes.
It's working. And maybe Steve.
Cash
is something working, Steve?
Yes.
I don't know.
It's working.
All right. As always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anybody except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
I hear Steve Miller playing with his microphone. Can you hear us, Steve? Are you there?
I can hear you just barely, but I am here, yes.
All right. Well, stop playing with your microphone. And this is radio. This is what you get when you have an unchecked police state. You get people doing sound checks on radio, according to Angela Keaton. So, Jeremy, how are you?
Yes, Mike. I am fine, Michael. And how are you?
You know, I don't know if this is going to work, because even if Steve says smart things and sounds great, he can't hear me well enough. He's not going to laugh at my jokes. I'm going to sound unfunny. I don't like
I'll
this.
Laugh at your jokes.
All right, there you go. Can you hear me now, Steve? Can you hear me now?
I can just barely hear you. It's like a whisper. It's the whisper of freedom in a world of tyranny.
Man, I really think you should. I think you should go away, Steve, and come back during the break.
Go away, Steve.
Cool. All right, go away, Steve. Yeah. It's bad radio. All right, so Jeremy, how are you?
Fine, sound Michael. Check. How are you?
I am fine. How are you? And did you like the Snowden movie? And talk about it, please.
Yes, Michael. I did like the Snowden movie. I did watch it on your recommendation, and I was pretty impressed. I hadn't actually even gotten around to seeing the last one. What was it, Citizen 4? Yeah, I still hadn't seen that one yet, but this was pretty good. I've always been a fan of, what's his name, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. So, and he did a remarkable job portraying Snowden, and it was a nice little nifty, well, I don't know, I guess spoiler maybe, I don't know. How long has this thing been out?
That was some hard, not only are we like, you know, terrestrial radio is dying, they've laid off like 90 people and one person's doing their job in the world of all the radio shows and all the stations, and plus, you know, we have a very low budget here on the Fiends, but we still sound great despite everything, even though I'm having trouble hearing in one ear again. Remember I talked about how they gave me a myringotomy, which is where they drill a hole in your eardrum to let the fluid out. Now, then they put in a little grommet. Sounds like something you'd call someone who votes for Hillary, but it's actually a little loop to keep something open.
Mm-hmm.
And use it in slave training for ladies down there. Big ones. All right, so. Anyway.
Yes. So. Well, I was talking about the movie. I'm a fan.
Oh, I was going to say that my ear is totally filled with pus. My
Again?
Middle ear.
I can't hear anything
out of my left ear. They drained it like 5 months ago, 6 months ago, and it's filled back up. It's because I'm going down on prednisone, and I'm down to 1.5 milligrams a day, and feels like hell. I'm getting better overall, but like, every time I go down, I just suffer for like a week, and then I feel okay for a week, and then I have to go down again. So I'm almost at the end of this more than a year journey of tapering off this drug. It's harder to get off than heroin. And my middle ear is full of pus again. And so they gave me stronger ear drops to use 3 times a day. And if that doesn't work, they're going to pop out the grommet, suck the fluid out of my inner ear, which is louder than the loudest metal band you've ever heard when they do it, and then pop the grommet back in. I'm looking forward so much to all of this, my journey to health.
Yeah.
I spoke to James Babb tonight. That's kind of interesting.
Really?
Yeah, I fired him for, you know, being mean to me about being sick.
Yes.
And for...
I recall.
And he doesn't, I don't think he even knows, like, why did Michael fire me, dude? Like, that's what he tells all my friends. But he also fired me, but I'm telling him now on radio, because that's the kind of class act I am. And he also, I also fired him for basically calling me a liar when I said Larkin Rose was lying about something. And it turns out that, yeah, he took Larkin's side. Like, no, man, I know Larkin. He's good. He wouldn't lie. So therefore, maybe, you know, you're lying. It wasn't that many words back and forth, but that was the crux of it. And, turns out Larkin is a big fat liar and sleeps with people's wives and tells them he's a dragon, literally, and convinces them of that.
I don't think he's the dragon. She's the dragon.
Yeah. Didn't he also say that he'd kill himself if she left?
Well,
she
didn't stop sleeping with her? The information that I've obtained, which I try to ignore most of the stuff. I mean, it gets to be really childish, and the bickering that goes back and forth with people defending him, people defending the other person, but like nobody really know. As usual,
Adam Kokesh should just get a room and get over with it.
That might solve some problems.
And you know, also like Steve Miller told me that. That Larkin Rose ghost wrote Adam Kokesh's book Freedom. I believe that maybe because I don't like Larkin Rose and he's a scumbag and he sleeps with people's wives. And, you know, you could say like, well, that's on the wife, but, you know, also lying about it and also like strong arming her into staying. He's just a scumbag and a liar and his feet stink. But I don't think he's a government plant, unlike some other people who have been arrested in Liberty and been facing 50 years. And then suddenly they're like, you know, they do 4 months in jail and they're like, oh, I'm on parole, but I'm moving to a different state and I can't talk about it. And, you know, no, that's not how it works. Adam and Rich and even Catwell. Didn't Catwell get busted for felony weight of coke packaged up to sell?
I think it was a Dewey,
but he had coke. He said he was facing years. I don't think he's really a cop. But then there's like Rich, who was facing, you know, 90 years in prison for felony weight of drugs. And then, like, you know, they said, carry this wire into your friend's house. And he didn't. And then, you know, he got out and everyone's like, oh, he's a hero. He didn't snitch. And I'm like, and then the FBI raids that person later and everyone's like, oh, the guy who was raided is a hero to me. But the person who allegedly didn't make a deal, I'm kind of like, how does that work? How do you face like with evidence, with the drugs, how do you face 75 years of federal time and then turn down their deal and then walk? A friend of mine who works in the law, in the legal industry says that does not happen.
Yeah, that always seemed a little odd to me, but even as the story we started with Larkin's story, I don't have enough evidence to, well, no, I don't really have enough care.
Oh, Larkin? Larkin's
no, I'm just saying,
a douche. He's not evil.
Oh, no, I was talking about Rich, too. Like, it sounds definitely plausible.
No last names here. No last names, but
I know.
Larkin is also either spamming me with the most ridiculous spam in the world or has been hacked by the kind of people that hack like the lowest who hack grandmas who don't even know how to use the internet. Because so I have Larkin Rose on my Skype account because we interviewed him 3 years ago before Fiend Phone via Skype. Nima and I did on Fiends. And so the other day I opened my Skype up. I haven't opened it in months. And there's three text messages, you know, like chat messages from Larkin Rose. And there are all these long, weird links. And I click on one of them and it opens up this like this ridiculous, like it was an ad for like brain pills, you know, or some stuff like that. And it said like, Stephen Hawking predicts this pill will change humanity. And it says breaking news. And it's got Wolf Blitzer and Stephen Hawking and looks like an MSNBC article that says these pills allow you to access 100% of the brain. And then it says like special edition for the Wall Street Journal. No, for Forbes, written by John Stewart, J-O-N Stewart for Forbes. Like, come on, man. This is like if Larkin wrote me and said, I have money. I'm trying to get out of. I am a Nigerian prince. Please help me. So I don't think Larkin wrote this. I think he's been hacked, but I don't talk to Larkin. So if anyone talks to Larkin, tell him, hey, Larkin, change your password on Skype. big dumb dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah. It's a whole big mess, and like I said.
So I get sick of the back and forth, including someone today, like saying, "I can't believe you guys are even talking about like what Larkin Rose does in bed because, you know, this is not TMZ. This is Liberty." See,
that's and that's such a ridiculous. The same thing happened. A lot of people said the same thing when it came to Adam
Kokesh.
And yes, what people do and in their Molly. Bedroom is one thing, but when you have positioned yourself to be
as someone who has
vocal,
integrity, like yeah, like these moral are people that person. People hold and, up as like the bastions of integrity of
yeah,
liberty.
And again, all the only information I have is because I watched the whole video put out by the you know the other woman's husband, the guy who actually kind of
well he actually well, put it out then took it down.
Yes,
somebody
but,
had it cached in their browser.
Well,
and did
yeah,
a screen cap of it. That's why the audio is so quiet and weird.
Yes, but as I said a couple days ago about this, it was, you know, him putting it out there and having a change of heart is one thing, but putting it on the internet was his decision.
Yeah, yeah.
So once it's there, he can, like anybody can.
That guy will land on his feet. He seems nice, and he looks like a thuggish Robert Downey Jr. You know, he'll get a lady who's
maybe.
Good.
But again, all I have to go on is what he said. But if everything he said in there is true, you know, okay, fine. Larkin and his
Larkin
wife have an open relationship.
Larkin
That's fine.
Has not denied it.
Well, neither of them have, as far as I know. But going behind this guy, you know, like I said, if everything that was said is true, that like you mentioned, that he was talking about suicide and then they have these weird role-playing therapy sessions together and it leads to this.
And
then,
like, cause he liked
2 years of this. And
a
lot of people are a lot more upset about this one because these particular people cyber begged for money last year to send her to that Anarcho-Poco thing. And Larkin put out a video.
Oh, run by another scammy dude.
And Larkin put out a video asking for donations. And
I think there should be a new Pork Fest type event for all the disgraced scumbags and everyone that still supports them. Let's raise money for that. Send everyone to Somalia to go grope each other's wives in peace. Worms!
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
You're special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today. Because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
Last I'll say about it is James Weeks II, my favorite minarchist, made this meme of Adam Kokesh and Larkin
Rose.
He's not
a minarchist.
He's running for office, naked.
Well, yeah, exactly.
For office in the Libertarian Party, naked. He's running for sheriff, too. I like that. I'd vote.
Well, he lost.
I'd probably
he did run
vote.
For sheriff. He lost.
Okay, so this. I love this meme he made of... It looks like an ad for one of those, like, how to trick women into your bed books. And it's Larkin and Larkin on Adam Kokesh's show in the same video. He didn't even put it together. And it says, husbands hate them. Learn their secrets to building anarcho harems. Oh, man. All right.
The other one he kept sharing is actually really funny, too.
What is that?
I don't know if you saw. It's like a dragon patch.
Oh yeah,
but it's made of denim.
Yeah,
and it said that that's what their kids would look like.
Yeah,
that's funny. Oh, that was great.
You know the. So I feel like he. I'll say this last thing because it's a backhanded compliment for myself. So I'll say it.
well, perfect reason.
I don't like it when guys sleep with girls by any means necessary. I want to earn it, and I want them to like me. You know, I don't want to go like yeah, and then have them like, you know, walk ashamed the next day, or else, you know, go on for 2 years like, well, if he'll kill himself if I don't, you know, like that kind of trickery. Here's an example of how I always was back when I was single. I remember one time in New Orleans, and I hadn't had sex for like, I don't know, 3 weeks, man. I was really, you know, that's a long time. So there was this incredibly hot girl who was a dancer on Bourbon Street. And you have to be pretty good looking to be a dancer on Bourbon Street in any of those clubs. So she and I ended up at this house afterwards, and like everyone else is asleep. We're the only ones awake, and I'm playing someone's acoustic guitar, and I'm playing Syd Barrett songs, you know, the guy who co-founded Pink Floyd, went insane, yes, and then did two really cool solo records that you, like, you can hear him forgetting the lyrics and starting the song over, and like, you know, it's in 4/4, but he'll like count, you know, 6 and one time and 4/3 another time before changing. Falling, brilliant guy, falling apart on tape. And so I was playing some songs from that on acoustic guitar. And this girl like was really, really drunk. And she's like, wait, are you Syd Barrett? And I'm like, no, man, I'm not. I play his songs and I can sing pretty well and play guitar pretty well. And she's like, no, you're him. And she crawled on the floor across the room to me and got up in my face and like, play some more. And I played some more. And she's like, you're him. I know you're him. He left Pink Floyd and he disappeared. And I know you're him secretly. And I'm like, he's like 40 or 30 years older than me. I'm not him. And she kept she's like, I need to have your baby right now. Syd Barrett, give me your baby. And I'm like biting my tongue. And, no, go away. And I did not hit it. So,
well, always, congratulations.
I've always had integrity and stuff like that. So.
Yes, that's.
I don't even know if it's integrity. It's more like, I want to win it. I want to earn it, man. It's if, you know, if you look at it as any kind of conquest, which I sort of did, as, you know, any male probably does, but also like, I really liked relationships with women. I've slept with 175 women, but I've had like 40 relationships, you know, that were serious, and then went through all of that and then found my wife and like, okay, I've had the, you know, had the rest, let's have the best for the rest of my life. And I'm still loving her, still digging it. Still just happy as heck every day. We've been together 11 years. Love her. Love our cats. Love our life. Love my new chair. I have a great chair. I spent $375 on a chair. I'm going to blog this. Hashtag please donate. And if you're like, I live in a studio apartment and I sent Michael Dean $2 and he spent it on an expensive chair. First of all, I thanked you profusely for the $2 and probably sent you $5 worth of buttons that cost $4 to ship you. And also, without a good chair, like my back has been messed up my whole life. Like the week since I've had this chair, I'm not feeling in constant, mild, low-level pain. So that and Cash Newman have changed my life. So Cash Newman's moved in. He got this crappy little apartment in the same building Nima used to live before he got married and became successful. Well, I knew the Nima introduced me to the landlord one time, and Cash was, put it this way, I proactively helped Cash get an apartment to get him, you know.
Proactively?
Yeah, get him out of my house.
So, oh, yeah.
He's still probably over here every decision. Day, though.
Maybe you should change the locks? I don't know.
He can walk through walls, man.
Whoa. It
won't help. I walk through walls. That song by Half Day.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
This is going away. All right.
Don't bother us.
Yeah. So, I'm looking at a... I told him to get a bug-out bag for audio, so when he's at his wife's house in Jersey, he doesn't have to use, like, the borrowed dime stone or broken Kensington found on the subway stop headphones.
Yeah. Well...
All right, so I'm reading a white paper that I wrote...
Oh, yes.
Called, and this is so such a white papery title, but it describes it. So it's about 12 pages long. It's about 3,500 words, and it's called Proposal for Implementing .BIP Decentralized DNS, i.e. Creating Distributed Difficult-to-Censor DNS-Type Function over Bitcoin Cryptocurrency Blockchain, while solving all the problems that kept Namecoin from becoming adopted as anything other than a speculative commodity, a.k.a. .BIP white paper. So
juicy.
I wrote this, and one member of the team has had time to read it so far and said it's brilliant and can't wait to start working on it. Waiting to hear back from the other two. They've been busy today. I think Derek was helping Chandler with the fonts on his new WordPress site, which people should go see Chandler's WordPress site. They should go to the Freedom Fiend site and click on the show times and hosts page link at the top and find Chandler and then click on his name and go to his new site that has his cool poetry. He finally put it together. I'm glad he did.
Oh, good. But, yeah, he was talking about the last time he was on. I'm glad he got that going.
But Chandler, I'm building the blockchains. Don't take up time that, you know, figure out your own fonts. I'm kidding. Sort of. All right, so... I have never done any pump and dump type stuff with Bitcoin. I have never like said buy, 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 sell, 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 like most people who run cryptocurrencies do. In fact, I don't want to dump. I want to hold this for a long time and build my holdings and build. I actually bought 5,000 BIPs, not on the exchange, but from somebody the other day because I'm not selling BIPs. They're a penny a piece, which is, I could make a tidy profit with the amount I have, but I'm not going to. I'm going to keep them. So I like that people are buying and selling them, but I guess what I'm saying is I would recommend to my friends that maybe you look into buying some while they're still a penny. This is not a guarantee, no promise of performance. You might lose all the money you spend, but if we make this work, do what Namecoin tried but could not do of get a decentralized, uncensorable DNS type domain service over a blockchain that works and people adopt it. And I think we can with what Derek and I learned dealing with Namecoin and creating the MeowBit domain viewer and dealing with the Namecoin team and studying the whole problem a lot and then thinking about it for 2 years a lot. I think we've got it. And so if this happens, I think Namecoin's going to end up worth a lot more. I cannot promise that. This is not any kind of Namecoin insider thing. Bitcoin. Sorry, no.
I was going to say, you're doing all this work to save another coin?
No, that no.
So unlikely.
Namecoin, I love the Namecoin team. I mean, the idea of Namecoin. The team had problems. They had, basically, it was, they
doesn't
kept,
every team have problems.
Yeah, but they didn't have a Michael Dean. That's their problem, seriously.
Oh.
You know, when you have 10 geeks and no marketing weenie and nobody to see the tree, forest for the trees, you know, they basically spent all their time adding, like, stuff way beyond the basics of it without doing things to get the basic thing, get any adoption. And it's been out 5 years, and it has, you know, there's 100,000 squatted domain names of under .bit, but, you know, how many .bit websites are there? Like 20, and 10 of them are mine. So we figured it out. I'm you know, this is not just like, oh, it's insider dirt on the Fiends. No, there's a line about this on our website, has been since the start. There's a line about this on the Bitcoin Talk page, announcement page. It's the last line on the page. All I'm saying is, if you're not mining and buying Bitcoin, then you're not mining and buying Bitcoin. I also will say, it's all some of the people who were renting like 50 kilohash and mining outside the pool, they're gone. I chased them out by screaming at them and other people for other things.
Physically removed, so to speak.
I physically removed them from our network. So come back in, the pool's fine. I would say if you're going to mine...
Yeah, the rate's been down. Yeah, like what did I see? It was like down to four kilohash earlier.
Yeah, yeah. If you, which is enough to keep the coin solid and make transactions quick, but not enough to make it hard to mine.
It's enough. It's enough for it's enough for somebody who's only pushing 20 hash rate hash a second. Still get 10 a day. So
yeah, and I've been getting 50 to 100 a day, depending on how often I'm mining with my 200 hash rate. Yeah. So come on back. The pool's fine. If you're gonna mine, if you care about the future of this coin and the ability for it to spread freedom by doing this decentralized, uncensorable DNS thing, I would please ask you to mine in the pool. If you're a dick and just want to make money, which isn't, I mean, making money's not a dicky thing, but, you know, people mine outside the pool because they don't pay the 1.5% fee to mine in the pool, but mining in the pool is better for the coin. It actually strengthens the network in a way that mining out of it doesn't. So I would say if you care about this, mine in the pool, because it helps other people be able to get coin, too. Then the other thing I'll say is now that we're openly... I'm not going to like release this white paper. I'm not going to talk about how we're going to do it. But you know me, and you know Derek Slopey, and you know that like we don't say... Well, actually, he hasn't had time to look at it yet. But, you know, he wouldn't be involved in something where it's like, oh, it'll work. Nod, nod, wink, wink. Like, you know, I've figured out stuff no one's figured out about how to prevent this domain squatting and how to make this easily adoptable by noobs. And the Namecoin team, like, they were like, oh, people should use Linux. We don't need to make it for Windows.
People should use... Everybody else should change their platform.
Yeah, those like we want to make this universally accepted, but the 80% of the people who use Windows and not Linux or Mac should learn Linux. That's not the attitude for adoption. So
yeah, that's a very bad business model.
Yeah. Right, so the other thing I'm going to say right now, I'm just going to get it over with. If anyone on my team is ever found dead of a drug overdose, a car crash, or an apparent suicide, there was a government agency behind it. Which yes. Nima Vedati and I said at the end of Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, about us for making the movie, which is something I actually stole from Jello Biafra of Dead Kennedys, that he said in a tiny fanzine 30 years ago that no one would remember, but I saw it and it really stuck with me. He said that about his band because they were so dangerous and controversial, and they really were. And I thought, that is so brilliant. If he says that, people go, wow, and then forget about it unless it happens, and then they go, whoa, that he predicted that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And our friend, which friend was it that killed Leonard Cohen this week?
Somebody killed
Kyle Leonard Bennett. Cohen? Yeah, well, I'm joking about it. Leonard Cohen's dead. I'm bummed out about it. I love his music. It's been a horrible year. Horrible, horrible year. Like Bowie,
yes.
Lemmy, Prince. I like Prince okay, but Bowie, like, his death made me cry.
Well, Bowie, yeah, that was a...
You know, Leonard Cohen's life, beauty of his music made me cry. I covered two of his songs. Covered Suzanne with Bob and covered Hallelujah solo when my daughter died. And that's the one that got the thumbs up, eight thumbs up from Siskel and or Ebert. But, yeah, man, I'm still in denial that Leonard Cohen's dead. And I never met him, but I was roommates with his daughter, Lorca Cohen. She stayed at my house in San Francisco for part of the summer, and we were good friends. And we stayed in the same bed together. We didn't do it, but we, you know, passed out together a bunch of times and woke up kind of cuddling, spooning. But, yeah, man. So Kyle Bennett.
That's just like meeting him.
Like meeting him? Yes, I'm sure.
getting that close to his daughter. It's like, you know.
I have a Leonard Cohen story, secondhand from his daughter. But first I'll say how Kyle Bennett killed him. So Kyle Bennett wrote a post 18 hours before it was announced that Leonard Cohen was dead. And it said, and it was right after Trump became president. And it said, I'll say it now, I think there's one more big surprise in 2016. And somebody said, better not be another dead musician. And I posted, this is a brilliant post from Kyle, because like this thing at the end of Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, people read it, they see it, they get a little chuckle. That's kind of funny. If nothing happens, they quickly forget it and move on. If something happens, they go, whoa, your spirit cooking gives you magical powers. So I'm just joking.
It's in the future,
killed Leonard Cohen. But I have a story about Leonard Cohen nobody's got, that his daughter told me about his parenting skills. maybe this is something that he should take to the grave. But no, he actually, like, she said he was a great dad. But so there's a movie called something, it's an Italian art film made like under fascism in Italy. And it was called, it's black and white, it's really grainy. It's made by some dead filmmaker, and it was called something like 100 Nights of Sodom. And it's not the book, or it's nothing to do with, you know, the kink book written by Marquis de Sade. It's called 100 Nights of Sodom or something like that. It's a movie you can't find because it's considered child pornography, because it's basically a bunch of Italian fascist soldiers holding a bunch of young teenage boys and girls, like 30 of them, prisoner in a captured castle in Italy. And apparently this is something that really happened. This movie was an anti-fascist movie made under fascism secretly. And you there? Mm. Yeah. Yeah, so it's basically, you know, it's a bunch of Italian soldiers like raping children very graphically and pooing on them and beating them and burning them. And
it's horrible.
You know, just the worst movie ever. So, but it's an art film that's respected, but you can't find a copy of it because it's considered child pornography. So Cohen told me that when she was 14, she came home one night and was like, her dad was like, hey, Lorca, how was your night? What's up? And she's like, I'm tripping on LSD, Dad. And he said, I've got just the movie for you to watch.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
That's a thing, man.
So that happened.
Kind of. Sort of. I mean, technically, I mean, aside from the fact that he hasn't actually got sworn in yet, he's not even officially the president yet. What is it? December 19th is when the Electoral College actually makes
They could defy, you know, and vote.
Technically, they could.
There'd be riots and blood in the street, because unlike when liberals don't get their way and threaten revolution.
You mean unlike right now?
Liberals don't have guns, though.
No,
Trump supporters have guns.
Not, some of them do. Depends on where they live.
Yeah. He also has a .gov now. Did you know that? .gov website. I couldn't believe that. I heard that on Daily Show. He's got a...
do all presidents have a .gov website? I don't
not
know.
Not usually that quick, but he's got greatagain.gov.
Oh.
And, you know, it's everything I'm hearing about him, it's like a mixture of like, well, this might be good, and it's probably better than Hillary, and he's actually, and then like horrific things, like, okay, like better than Hillary, like, all right, he's talking about going after the Federal Reserve and like removing some of their power, which is bizarre, but He also is talking about for Attorney General Giuliani and for Secretary of Interior Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin is going to like frack in Yellowstone. Remember that movie 2012 with John Cusack? And it has and it has, who's the guy from Cheers, Natural Born Killers? That guy?
Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, Woody Harrelson. It has him as like Alex Jones, basically, like pirate radio Alex Jones. And Yellowstone ends up being like blown up in a bunch of volcanic eruptions.
Yes.
That's when Palin becomes president and fracks Yellowstone. I mean, Interior, whatever. The lady who shoots bald eagles with a bow and arrow, isn't that her?
With Ted Nugent. I think so. Maybe, possibly.
I sound like a liberal.
Could be either one.
I sound like a gun hater. I'm like, there's like a rifle like 6 feet away from me, loaded, and I'm like, yeah, isn't she the one that shoots bald eagles?
You're just a crazy person hater. That's all.
I am. Well, Cash Newman, can't get rid of that guy. So I like that Cash Newman is becoming slang for doing vitamin K for kratom. But
vitamin K.
I think it should. I think it should.
I think they already have something they call that. So
yeah. Well, K hole. We could make K holes great again with kratom. But
that's what I said on your post yesterday or today. I don't even remember when it was when I said that gives a whole new meaning to the term K hole. Because
I think it should become the official like slang. Like, you know how like one of the words for smoking PCP is like hanging out with Sherm Hemsley.
Never having done PCP, I've never heard that. So
I've done PCP. It's horrific. I was talking about synthetic THC. This was like 5 years ago.
Wow.
I ended up like riding my bike through the graveyard that I was always afraid of. I was like 12. Yeah, I took PCP when I was 12. That's me.
My uncles had a friend when they were growing up that somebody slipped him a cannabis joint that had some of that in it one time when they were in high school. It like pretty much fried his brain.
Yeah,
he's been a vegetable. He's been pretty much a vegetable ever since.
Me too, like, but I'm so smart.
A walking vegetable.
It'd take a million volts to put me to sleep. So, but I ended up riding through the graveyard on my bike that I was afraid of before that. And like came home, took a shower, and was like covered with black and blue marks. And I'm like, what happened? And then I remembered, this is a graveyard that was from like the 30s, so it had a lot of like dead babies. So it had a lot of small gravestones, like little ones.
Sure.
Because of baby diseases in the 30s. And
baby diseases.
So I basically kept hitting little gravestones, flying off my bike into bigger gravestones, and then getting back on my bike.
Wow.
And didn't feel it and was laughing. So PCP, it's a hell of a drug. But, you know, we're talking about Leonard Cohen's parenting and his kids. Don't take drugs, but if you're gonna under my roof, watch this horrific movie. I think it's called 100 Nights of Sodom, but I'm not even gonna Google it. You don't want to Google that. Somebody told me once they Googled that, and like images ended up on their computer.
Oh,
that
wow! You don't want. Yeah, there's certain things when, like, I used to have that problem when people would say that, like, you don't like, you know, or don't give Google. You a site, like, don't look at that. Like, you almost can't resist.
I'm serious,
like, that was me for the longest time. I learned my lesson after enough of them. I was like, yeah. I'm just, it's okay. I'll take
your
word for
it. Don't even Wikipedia this one. People.
All right.
Stay away.
I won't.
And don't let your kids take LSD. And if they do, don't let them make them watch horrific movies.
There's nothing wrong with LSD, but the movie, yes, I agree with that.
It's just the whole thing, man. Can't believe that happened. And I also can't believe I told it.
Twice.
I don't think it's disrespectful. I mean, it's, you know. Twice.
No.
Actually, three times.
Listen, Michael, everybody mourns in their own way.
There you go. I like that. That's true, man. Make Bitcoin great again. Grab Bitcoin
stop being
by
great
the kitty.
Yet.
Grab Bitcoin by the kitty cat. I know, it hasn't. It's still great.
Worms.
Ross Ulbricht was sentenced to life in prison for operating the Silk Road. But that's not the end of the story. Ross is trying to get out, but he needs your help. The free Rossathon is happening Sunday, December 4th from 2 to 10 p.m. Eastern, featuring Roger Ver, Cody Wilson, Doug Casey, Tom Woods, and dozens of equally seditious speakers. Go to freeross.org right now and register for this free event. It's a fundraiser for Ross's appeal, so prepare to be inspired. freeross.org. That's freeross.org.
Make America great again.
And again and again and again.
Cash. Cash Newman comes out of his crate every full moon. And if he sees his shadow, we have four more years of Trump.
No.
Yes.
Go ahead. This is the Kratom Fiends.
Oh, man.
Broadcasting to the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon. High atop Financial Peace Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Kratom Fiends is covered by a BIP cut, no government license. This allows for reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at bipcot.org.
Yeah, so I think Jim met our friend Cash Newman. He posted today, "Hey, Michael, I finally met your friend Cash Newman. Great guy, having a wonderful
time." Gets around
time
that fella, huh?
Yeah, he gets around. I know. Yeah, he was in Casper today, and I guess he was also in Las Vegas today. You know, Casper.
I wonder if he was visiting Maryland as well. And
yeah, I think he was. Although she's going to become the Kratom Fiend, the Rush Limbaugh Kratom. Although, I don't know, man. I'm the one that's going deaf too and yell a lot. So, speaking of yelling a lot, I was yelling about James Babb a few minutes ago. James Babb just wrote me something that I'm going to take as an apology. So I wrote him earlier when this whole thing came out at Larkin. And I said, so, because part of the reason I fired James was because he like basically said, Larkin, you know, you're lying, Larkin's not, when I knew Larkin was lying. The thing Larkin was lying about, by the way, was there was a thread where... Okay, like, and this is funny because James wanted proof, and I'm like, you want me to pull up a screenshot I don't have of a conversation I had on Facebook 2 years ago? Yeah, okay. But, you know, like most people who are religious about things, you know, like James about Larkin, or like Catholics about God, or atheists about atheism.
I don't
or
know
Hillary.
He's religious
about I'm kidding, but he defended him without really knowing it. Anything, you know, just like he trusted his integrity more than mine. So, but the thing that Larkin was lying about, or maybe forgetting, was that Larkin, Jim and I were yelling at Larkin on a thread where Larkin was saying, everyone who's bashing Molyneux right now is probably a cop, basically, or is a bad person. And at some point in this thread, I started talking directly with Larkin, and, you know, Larkin said, oh, Michael Dean, you're probably a cop if you're defending people who are bashing Molyneux. And I got mad at him, and I deleted my post, which deleted that sub-thread, so it wasn't on there. And Jim had actually taken a screenshot of this thread, and also it was a thread that was so long, Jim didn't have the whole thing, so it might have still been in there. But I couldn't prove that Larkin called me a cop for bashing Molyneux, and Larkin later bashed Molyneux, and yeah, I'm still waiting for my apology from Larkin for that one. But so I wrote,
never seemed to come.
So Jim sent me an ad today I'm about to play. It's for a Free Ross thing, which is really cool. Jim's very active in helping Ross Ulbricht, who's in prison for freedom, for running the Silk Road, allegedly, and did not kill anyone, and did not try to order anyone killed or pay to have anyone killed. That's BS made up by the feds. Two of whom are in prison, or one's in jail or on bail waiting trial. The people who were running this operation against Ross stole a bunch of the evidence, the Bitcoin, which was worth a lot of money, and also made stuff up. So there's an appeal right now that's based on some of that. And yeah, I'll play this thing in a minute. But so I wrote James because I hadn't talked to him in a long time. And, you know, we've got mutual friends who are like, Jim Jesus is like, God, I hung out with James Babb at Jackfest, and we jacked, and it was great. And I love that guy. I love jacking it at Jackfest with Jim and Jim. So, but, you know, he's a great guy, but he was kind of a prick to me. And he's kind of a prickly guy, even though he's likable. James Babb. So I wrote him and I said, so it turns out Larkin Rose is a lying scumbag. Link to the video. When you're ready to apologize for calling me a liar for believing him over me, and apologize for being prickly to me, I can't say it on air, for being a prickly person to me in general back when I was close to death, I'd love to bring you back on The Fiends if you want, or just be square with you if you don't want to be on the show, you know, if you want to apologize. So And so James Babb wrote me back tonight and said, thanks. The Fiends was a lot of fun. My PC died, but Trump will be president, so it's a tough call. So that's an apology to me. It's funny. He's basically saying, I don't know if I'm going to apologize to you or not, but Trump's president, so I need to be on the radio, but my PC died, so, you know. And it's funny. So instead of saying, I don't know if I could be on the Fiends or not, but I'll try to get a PC, it was, I don't know if I'll apologize, but I might have to because Trump's going to be president. But here's what I wrote back is, hey, if we can get you a PC, you know, will you be on? He might.
Hey, dude.
I'm not going to buy him one, but I can't afford it because I just bought a chair, a really nice one. But if someone, you know, there's got to be a fiend who's got a used PC who works for the CIA, who'd load it with a bunch of spyware and then send it to us to give to James Babb. That person's got to be out there. So that's my segue into the movie Snowden. But first, I'm going to play this ad. And I'm not going to bother hooking it up through the monitor. I'm just going to hold the mic up to the speaker because Derek J. made this. And the audio is great because I taught him, because I berated him until he had good audio. And I love that not only Freedom Fiends co-hosts, but other fans are starting to yell at people on the internet for, you know, I like your content, but your bad audio is a hate crime. Make it better. I like that I built that. So I'm going to play this ad that Derek J did and recorded really well, but then outputted as a low rate MP3. So it doesn't sound very good. So, you know, I'm not going to bother, really. So here you go.
Ross Ulbricht was sentenced to life in prison for operating the Silk Road. But that's not the end of the story. Ross is trying to get out, but he needs your help. The free Rossathon is happening Sunday, December 4th from 2 to 10 p.m. Eastern, featuring Roger Ver, Cody Wilson, Doug Casey, Tom Woods, and dozens of equally seditious speakers. Go to freeross.org right now and register for this free event. It's a fundraiser for Ross's appeal, so prepare to be inspired. Freeross.org. That's freeross.org. Ross.
There it is. So, Jeremy.
Yes.
So, by the way, anybody that runs any charities that are legit and not, you know, Tony Stiley. I'm actually considering doing this thing that would involve getting some free Bitcoin, maybe, for some people who do some charities. So no promises yet, but people should contact me. You know, I'm thinking Bitcoin, not bombs, Davi and the other guy, Drew. I don't talk to Drew, and Dobby doesn't talk to me, but I would talk to either of them about giving some charity money to things that they do, and free Ross stuff, and, you know, all sorts of other kinds of people that do legit stuff. Contact me and we'll talk. I'll put your name on the short list for if we do this thing, you know. Don't contact me if I haven't heard of you. It's got to be someone that's, like, respected in our community.
If I haven't heard of you.
Yeah, well, if I haven't heard of you,
you don't matter.
That's pretty much true. It is. So speaking of Bitcoin, I had to give 50 Bitcoin to every Freedom Fiends co-host because of union rules. Not really. That's just what we say.
Thanks, Steve.
And so, but some of the Fiends are still, I haven't come forth to claim their BIPs. There's Hugo Gonzalez, Nima Vidati, Diana Kyler, and ironically, Steve Miller, your union president, your rep. And then also Scott Sanders, who does editing for us, and Crazy Rich, who does memes for us and has for many years. So those people could contact me. Now, the deadline is New Year's Eve, Wyoming time. After that, your BIPs go away. I'm not going to hold them for you. However, apparently there's this thing called the First BIP Bank of Lisa. Which is Lisa, I believe, is offering, or I'm volunteering her services. She's done it for a few people. She will hold your BIP for 10% until you get your BIPs together and get a wallet someday when they're worth money and you go, oh, yeah, for 10% or 20%. You got to talk to Lisa. And she does not guarantee she won't lose them. But if she loses them, she really lost them. She didn't steal them because she's honest. So there you go. First sounds bank,
like
Lisa.
Sounds like a bank I can believe in.
Well, yeah, so I'm kind of worried.
I finally got my BIP, so
I know. Oh,
I'm good.
Speaking of Leonard Cohen, so you know Phil Spector, who's in prison for murder, most foul.
Yeah.
And I actually knew a girl who was into kink who wrote me and sent me a picture of her with her arm around Phil Spector in his mansion, and it was not photoshopped. And she had other ways of showing me that she knew him. I don't even know her name. She's someone who contacted me when I did a kink podcast with my wife in 2006, 7, 5, whatever. Around the time this was happening, and when he was, you know, out on bail, but before he went to prison for murder, before the trial was over. And she told me that he confided in her. Let me break his confidence. That it was not murder, but he did it, and it was kink play gone foul. I don't care, man. I don't care what your kink is. You never point a gun at anybody, even if it's not loaded. But, you know, it was one of those.
Yeah, that's usually... It's never a good... It's always a good rule of thumb not to do so. And especially any time that your emotions are heightened in any direction.
And there's probably drugs involved. Extra...
And then on top of that, an even worse idea. So, yes.
So, did you know, though, that Phil Spector not only... Like, it came out during his trial that he had a history of pulling guns on women. Like, there were women who testified that in his trial.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I don't know if it was kink, but it was like... I think it was like, get out of my house, you know, like, and threatening him with a gun. Did you know that he also pulled guns on musicians in the studio to try to get a better performance out of them? And threatened them with guns?
I think I've heard a story. It may have been from you. I'm not sure.
But yeah, he did it to John Lennon. He did it to John Lennon and to Keith Richards.
I've heard
and a few other people. And somewhere I read an interview or heard an interview with Leonard Cohen a bunch of years ago where he said that when he was in the studio with Phil Spector pulled out the gun and Leonard Cohen just kind of looked at him with his big sad eyes and just... He said there was so much darkness between the two of them in the room. He said he just put his gun away, and we went back to recording.
Wow.
I love Leonard Cohen, man. I am tormented. Like, we're going to finally talk about Snowden when we get back.
Sure we are.
Sure.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Cell 411, because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
Cats are good. Thanks for asking.
Hold on, still getting along.
Yeah, a lot better. Bob's a little hellion, man. He's such a kitten. He still has his nuggets. He's taken to, like, spilling all the drink water for the three bowls we have because...
Oh, that's always fun.
He rubs his face all over the bowls to try to put his scent on them because he thinks he's the alpha cat. But he's too little to really be the alpha cat yet.
Well, he's trying to be the alpha cat.
Yeah, he will be when he weighs about 2 more pounds. So... He does that and then spills water all over. And, you know, as cat territory marking behavior goes, that's annoying, but it's better than, like, replacing a leather couch because he's peed on it, which he's not done.
Or scratched it up, yeah.
And, you know, he's going to not be thanking a vet here in about 3 weeks when take him to the vet for his nugget removal. Spirit cooking ceremony.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, the weird thing about having a middle ear infection, most radio shows give you the news about the Middle East. I give you the news about my middle ear because it's more important to me than really.
Yeah, this happens. Is really news you can use. Come on.
Yeah, if it doesn't happen inside my head, literally, I don't care about it.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, so the weird and creepy thing about it, other than I can't hear people talking on the left side of me, and I can hear myself talking through bone conduction from my mouth to my ear really loud. So it's hard to modulate my volume. So I think I'm too loud when I'm too quiet and vice versa. But the creepiest thing about it is I can hear my heartbeat in my ear all the time.
Wow.
Not terribly loud, but if it's quiet, I can hear it. And
that's trippy.
It's trippy and messed up. And the doctor said, that is really normal. Absolutely normal. And this was the last time too, pre Cash Newman. So don't blame that. And it's creepy to me because the only time I've ever heard my heart in my ears before was about 25 years ago. The one time I shot cocaine, with Cash Newman, did Weird and Speedballs, cocaine and heroin. Kids, don't try this at home. Even if your dad is the greatest singer ever and Kyle killed him this week.
Oh, poor Kyle.
Yeah, yeah. So the only time I ever heard it was when I was shooting coke. I could hear it, and it was like 200 beats a minute. So, you know, and I thought I was going to die back then. So it's really creepy because for me, now I'm hearing my heartbeat in my ear when I'm calm, when I'm healthy, healthy-ish. And it reminds me of the one time I came, one of the times I came pretty close to dying. So I'm constantly like hearing this sound in my ear that makes me think, oh, you're going to be dead in 5 minutes.
So this has become like your
my world.
Well, no, I was gonna say your clock inside the crocodile for Captain.
What's
Hook.
That?
You know, Peter Pan, Captain Hook.
Don't explain it. People will get it. I don't care. So the name of this episode is something like, I don't know for sure yet, but it's something like, isn't it odd that I can't quote the president on radio anymore without getting in trouble with the FCC? It's kind of long. It's kind of like my white paper title, but it works. And the picture we're using is unrelated, but I like it. That's kind of related. I posted some on Facebeef today about like, you know, yesterday about like, hey, Casper, Wyoming, 2 p.m. All's well. No riots. People quiet going about their day. I'm glad we left L.A. 7 years ago. And someone made J.P. Brody, my meme mentee. He's a guy who's not on social networks. He listens to the show. He makes memes and sends them to me. His first 40 memes were horrible. They were like, had more text than the title of my white paper by three times. And like, he didn't know memes. He didn't know it. And I kept saying, no, change this. Don't do this. It's too long. It's got to be, the people in the cheap seats have to be able to get it punchy at a glance. So he made a great meme today. I'm using this for the image. He made a meme that says, live coverage from the 2016 Wyoming post-election riots. And it's literally a picture of a tumbleweed blowing down a dirt country road with like, you know, no people in the nearest house. Looks like it's on the horizon a couple miles away.
Nice.
And that's Wyoming. So I like it. Even though Diana's afraid of tumbleweeds for some reason.
Well, you know, you see certain movies or shows when you're little, it freaks you out.
So I've been threatening to talk about this movie Snowden for a while. Yeah. Let's talk about it. So Snowden,
we have like 30 seconds left. Sure. Why not?
All right. We'll start it and then come back. So Snowden, it's a great movie by, it's a great movie, I can't do it. Jim needs to do it. It's by, Oliver Stone. Great filmmaker. Guy made JFK. Great movie. It's very much like JFK. It's a very similar kind of biopic movie.
Yeah, it is. It was.
We'll be back. I hope that Trump does not have. I don't. I'm afraid Putin will hand it Trump Snowden and have him killed early.
Yeah. See, yeah. That's something I hadn't even thought about until now. So
I made it up. Put it on.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. You're special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today, because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
So, hashtag please donate to James Babb. I'm a cyberbag on his behalf because I think we are wasting one of this nation's most valuable natural resources if James Babb is not on radio for part of the next 4 years. Because how can, James, I'm talking to you directly now, how can you stay off radio and not get on at any means possible when news items like once an hour are coming up like this? President-elect Donald Trump has appointed Stephen Bannon as his chief strategist. Bannon, who is known as the former executive chairman of Breitbart News, and is a figurehead in the alt-right movement. James, please come back. We need you. I can't. This news ain't going to cover itself, and I'm just going to talk about the actual voices in my head that my doctor, who's not a psychiatrist, told me are real, that are really just my heartbeat. So, James, we need you. We need some taut political coverage, and that's you. You big punk. All right, so moving on. Yes. Can't quote the president on radio because he'll get in trouble with the FCC. And there's this movie. Yes. We like this movie.
Yes, it was a good movie. Yeah. Well, we started this way back in the first hour, and then we got sidetracked.
Side-booed.
And I was saying back then that I had never even seen the first one, Citizen Four. So, and I didn't really follow.
Wait, who made that? What's that?
That was the movie that came out a couple of years ago about him.
About Snowden?
Yeah.
What's it called? Citizen Four?
I don't remember.
Was that his operator number at the?
I don't know. Was that the no? That wasn't him. I don't know if that was the one. Thinking of the wrong title. Anyway, but there was another one that I didn't see. But that one's available on YouTube. And I didn't really know much about his story. I didn't really follow all that. I just
Snowden?
I just read the information that he came out with. So,
radio tip for people, don't bury the lead. And the biggest problem with communication, I've noticed, I've figured out what it is, even with people who speak the same language perfectly, is not defining the article in a sentence or statement or story, not defining who he is or it is, or because we started out talking about Snowden, then mentioned Stone, the director, then talked more about Snowden, then talked about Breitbart, then talked about Snowden. Then talked about another movie by someone we don't know who it's about, and then you said,
"No, it was about Snowden."
But then you said something about, and the thing about that I didn't know about him, and I'm like, "Who the hell is him at this point in this conversation?"
Oh, okay,
that's Barry in the lead. All right, so, and you know what? It's actually in writing, especially you end up making these really weird like sentence constructions to make it clear, but it's better than making it unclear. Like, you know, Snowden said to Jeremy that Snowden thought he should leak to the, you know, press, like that kind of thing. But otherwise it sounds like, you know, who's he did. Snowden said to Jeremy that he should leak to the press. Sounds like Jeremy should leak to the press. So anyway, there's this movie and we like it. And I love it. It's, you know, I'll say the three things wrong with it, and the rest of it's perfect, and the three things are tiny, so that means it's a great movie. I mean, it seems like, it's so good, it seems like a Tom Clancy movie, but it's real. You know, it seems like Hunt for Red October, but it's real. It's that kind of fiction and espionage and spies versus spy, and, you know, there's a pretty girl and a compelling young military gent who wants to serve his country and realizes his country isn't right, and, the whole thing, man. You can't script this stuff, although someone did, I'm sure, but it's pretty close to the truth story. My only problems with it, one, Stone is in it in a really weird, confusing scene. Did you notice that, and did it confuse you? Or you don't even know what he looks like.
I do know what he looks like, but I wasn't even paying that much attention because, I mean, the
okay,
picture was good,
alerts.
But not that
oh,
good.
Oh, yeah. It was a cami. This was like, it's the only thing available. And I didn't watch it here. I went out onto international waters when Ned Cash Newman downloaded it. So we didn't break any laws. But,
yeah,
you know,
just,
it was like, it was shot in a theater. It was shot in a theater on a camcorder, and you could actually hear people whispering at a couple points in the theater, and somebody, you can actually, no one's walking in front of it. I think he's in the balcony. That's how people usually do it. But, you know, and they rest the camera on the balcony edge, so then there's no one in front of them, and they, like, bring a matchbook to lift it up and point it down. So I've heard. But, so, like, you get, like, at one point, somebody bumps the camcorder, and it's, it jiggles and then it goes back and it actually makes the sound that I remember from when you bump a camcorder and the mic's built in the camcorder. So it's one of those. They're called a cami. We watched it and yeah, there's a scene near the end where they're talking like, but after the scenes in the hotel where he's leaking to the press and before he ends up in Russia, there is a period where he was in Hong Kong, in the hills, in the house of some anonymous, we don't know who it was, wealthy American or British businessman who put him up before he could get smuggled out, he'd leave the country. And that businessman in this movie is played by Stone, the director. But it was really weird to me because I thought, oh, wait, Stone's playing himself in this because what? Did Stone meet him? You know, because Stone goes and meets people like that that are hard to meet. Like he went and illegally, didn't he like illegally go to Cuba and interview one of the, you know, either the son or the, who's the guy forever? Cuba.
Oh, Castro?
Castro. It's either Castro or Castro's son, Castro, who's in power now. Like didn't Oliver Stone go interview him?
I thought his brother ended up in power. His brother died too.
Yeah, but Stone went, and anyway, Stone is known, and he's done some other things like that too, where he's gone kind of semi-quasi-illegally to places to interview people who are on the run, or, you know, in places you can't go. So I thought, oh, well, Stone must have done that. That's why he's playing himself in the movie, but no. See, here, let me tell you, Oliver Stone, let me tell you how to make movies. What I would have done, let me give you some advice, kid. You got some talent, kid. I think you can go places. In my movie, Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, I had a cameo. I played a goon. You got to play the bad guy in your cameo. You should have played one of the CIA goons. There were enough of them in the movie. All right. So yeah, that's one problem. Sure. Second problem is, it's, you know, they were showing his heightened security stuff, like real stuff he did, like making a little blanket fort over his laptop on the bed when he'd type a password, which looked so adorable.
Yeah.
But he really did that. And there was one where he put the journalist's cell phones in the hotel room's
microwave.
Yeah. He didn't microwave them. He just put them in there like, oh, a Faraday cage. Yeah, there's like the metal grill on the front and the rest of it's built to keep you from cooking while you're standing next to it, you know, to keep. And I was like, would that work? And I was like, I ran and put my phone in the microwave and had my wife call it and we could hear it ring. It was in there ringing. But the thing is, I read about it. It's got to do with the wavelength, which is inversely proportioned to the frequency, but it's like the actual length in millimeters or meters of the wave. And the microwaves that cook your food cannot get out of those little holes, but the smaller waves that are used for telephone radio can get into those and out of those little holes. So there. So that wouldn't have worked. And I thought, well, maybe it's like, you know, phones are like computers now, but back then when that happened, they were just phones. There was a different kind of radio frequency. And I'm like, no, that was 3 years ago. So
yeah.
I don't buy that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I didn't, because the first scene with it, where he says that, you know, he says he wants to put it in there. He said he had bought it. And then I thought they called it a microwave, and then they just kind of really didn't explain it after that. It just became like the microwave.
Yeah.
You know? It was never actually, I thought like the way he described it at first, I thought it was something other than that. Like I thought he had bought some kind of Faraday cage.
No, it was the actual microwave oven in the hotel room.
Oh, I could have sworn he said he bought that, but anyway.
Maybe he bought a microwave. It was hard to hear, especially when one of your ears is full of fungus. Or pus.
I did not have that problem, but it was kind of quiet. I actually had to wear my headphones in order to hear.
Well, the audio was not perfect because it was recorded with a microphone in a theater.
No, I understand.
Direct rip of a DVD. I'm going to watch it again when the DVD comes out and Cash can download it on a yacht. So on his yacht, he lives in a piece in the sink hotel, but he owns a yacht. So pee in the sink. So yeah, Trump, I wonder if Assange is going to Assange and Trump, basically most Americans consider them both traitors, even though one of them is not American. But and I think that Trump has called for both of their assassinations, but Assange actually helped Trump get elected by leaking all the Hillary stuff.
To a certain extent, yeah, I believe so.
There's an image, there's a meme of Assange, came out hours after the election results. It's Julian Assange's face, and it says, "You're welcome."
Well, right. Originally he promised to bring stuff that would definitely put her in jail, and then it was,
hey,
he was
the night's still the young election.
No, I know, although I've talked about this at length recently on a couple of shows, and I don't see it happening only because she's still so well connected.
Yeah, I don't either.
And a lot of the stuff that, like the Clinton Foundation stuff, may eventually bring the two of them down. I don't know. But all the other stuff, even the kiddie stuff, unfortunately, there's
kiddie
so...
stuff. What?
Kiddie stuff.
What? Who?
Clinton.
What, Hillary Clinton's looking at child porn?
No. You don't know about that? All the stuff that's the child... Cats, the child trafficking... No, the child trafficking ring that they've been talking about.
No!
You don't know anything about that?
Hey, I've been building the block. I've been writing a white paper. You ever write a white paper? You don't.
No, I haven't read
a background.
Well, this has been good. This was this came out through some of the emails of the Podesta links that there's supposedly a the Podesta emails is what they call them, because that was John
Podesta.
Isn't
that part of a woman's body?
No. That was her. Somebody, I can't remember what his position is, but he basically
grab her in the Podesta.
He's well connected. Yes, exactly. So it came out through there that, as well as the spirit cooking, there was also this other stuff tied to this.
I don't know about the sex. I don't know about the felonies, but the spirit cooking's stuck in my head.
Yeah. Well, that some of those images that whether they're photoshopped or not, are kind of hard to get out of your head after you see them. So. Can't blame you.
When we come back, Jeremy's going to give you his 12 thumbs up review.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
So we spent the last 13 minutes, Jeremy and I, arguing about whether or not the audio quality in this bootleg version of the Snowden movie was bad or really bad. That's literally what we did for the last 13 minutes, if you're just tuning in. So I'm going to turn it over to Jeremy and let him talk about the movie.
So okay.
We got 1 5-minute segment left, and I've used 1.5 minutes of it. So go.
All right, so
go.
As I tried to say earlier, I really enjoyed the movie. I didn't know that much about Snowden, and then one of the things I found really interesting, and now I forgot the name of the project, but apparently one of the programs that the NSA was using, he had actually created, and he didn't.
Yeah.
What was that? I forget.
It almost sounds to me like. I don't know if this is implied or if I just saw something that wasn't there, but it almost seems like he created it so it would suck up all this data and make it easy to copy and leave with.
Well,
did you get that from it?
I didn't get that. They kept referring to it as it was designed as a backup program, which I think it was supposed to be used internally for, like, you know, the NSA.
Yeah, but it backed everything. It did make it easier for. I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know what is true and what, you know, Stone conjectured to make it better on the screen. But, you know, Stone was having a lot of doubts. The Snowden character in this movie was having a lot of doubts by the point that he was amping up the creation of that thing and streamlining it and talking to his boss about, hey, I think I could make this even better. I think he was doing it, at least the character, I think, was doing it to, all right, worms.
That's possible. I didn't pick up on that, so I'll have to watch it again. But, I mean, overall, like I said, I just found that interesting because, like, you know, his character, he's the character Snowden seemed rather shocked when he found out that this program had been implemented and was being used to, like, pretty much help spy on everybody.
Yeah.
And they played it up, the conflict he went through the entire time from, like, the first time he found out that they were spying, you know, doing things that he thought were, you know, supposed to be illegal, and then kind of just shrugging it off and then doing his job, and then finally finally just deciding, I guess, enough was enough. But it was definitely and I had forgotten. I remember Snowden giving that his first talk, like when he did the thing that was kind of spread around the internet, where he gave the actual interview after everything, and hearing Joseph Gordon-Levitt give it again kind of like sent chills down my spine again, because that was one of those things that I had that glimmer of hope where I was like, oh, finally, maybe more people realize, they'll see, because all this information's out there. And
that's the problem, is what changed? I mean,
unfortunately,
perception changed, but not even that much, and nothing changed in the NSA, probably, except they made it harder to do this again, I would expect.
Well, they supposedly, you know, didn't re-sign the Patriot Act, but yeah, then they replaced it with the Freedom Act, which still ends up doing a lot of the same things, doesn't do some of the stuff, but then does more stuff in other directions, just like every other bill that they, when they don't actually repeal something, when they actually just go ahead and change it or add a new one to replace it, it always manages to be worse. Yeah, streamlined. But anyway, that's just government, and I could yak about them all night. But the movie itself, you know, was really, obviously, really well done. And I would definitely highly recommend seeing it, especially for those people who may have, you know, heard the name Snowden and kind of forgotten about it by now. It's like, this is a good refresher, because it was, like you said, it was only 3 years ago that this all came out. Yeah. So
I couldn't believe it was only 3 years ago when I realized that near the end, or like maybe Googled it while there was a date on screen. And I was like, wow, that seems like 10 years ago, doesn't it?
And so, yeah, that's, well, I mean, that's my life since I became a parent, especially. Like, everything seems like so long ago and yesterday all at the same time. So, yes, I had to do a double take at the first time they showed that, too, because I was like, really? 2013? Wasn't that like 2011, 2010, sometime back then? I don't even know. It's all a blur. But I guess that's why so many people have kind of forgotten about it, unfortunately.
Worms.
Great show, man. Thanks for your service. And thank you, Edward Snowden. He's a vet I will thank for his service.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Saw something, said something.
Yep.
Excellent.